Welcome back for another episode of Destined to Be an Autumn's Concerto. Let's pick up where we left off.
Another one is the Quiet Talker. And they don't name these girls these. I think I gave them these nicknames. But the Quiet Talker was great, where they would ask her a question like, oh, so where do you, what subject are you studying or program are you in? And she's kind of like, oh,
she even speaks more softer than Eunjae.
Oh yeah, and it's like, I think it's Eunjae is kind of like, yeah, I don't think she's really kind of scary. And it's, that was the funniest part about it, where if Eunjae says like, wow, she's just really quiet. Oh, so that was a funny one. And there's this one moment where though Kang has moved out, she still misses the girls and she misses living with them. She's now living in this apartment where one of her boyfriends got her, and she's actually looking back at their group chats, and she's kind of reminiscing of all the fun chat that she's missing out on now that she's not in this house. And there's one night where she gets really, really drunk, and as an instinct, when she tells the driver, the taxi driver, her, the address for her home, she tells them the belly book, and she heads back there wasted, and it's kind of like, the girls are like, why is she here? She doesn't live here anymore. And this is after the girls have also kind of missed her a little bit as well. And so she gets into the house, and she's leaving, she sends a line to the girls to the effect of, can't I just live back here? And it's like a sad statement, because she's like, can't I just move back? Yeah. She's like, no, I'm the one who moved out, but can't I just move back in here?
Yeah.
And it's, the girls really have nothing. They don't really say anything, and she kind of just leaves.
And it was interesting how instinct took her back home.
Mm-hmm.
So even though she had moved out and she had a beautiful apartment that one of her boyfriends got for her and him when they meet up, when she was drunk, instinctively she went what felt like home. Home is where the heart is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and back to the bad boyfriend, there's also a scene that, okay, so yes, Kang is, he has three boyfriends, she's prostituting herself, you know, getting paid for all these boyfriends, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But there's something that she has that Jae-woon doesn't, and that's confidence.
Yes.
She is overflowing with confidence, and she doesn't put up with things from guys. You know, she doesn't want to do anything, she wouldn't do any of this stuff. And she wouldn't let a guy treat her badly at all. If he ever tried it, she would voice her opinion and say, yeah, that's not going to fly right now.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, we have Jae-woon, who is being like, bulldozer by her boyfriend.
Yeah.
An example is, they're walking, I guess, close to their campus, and there is a charity that's the petition.
Yeah.
Where they're signing names for a petition. So they sign their name, and they're heading to the theater at this point, but they're signing their name for this petition. So the petition is asking for their name, I think what school they go to, or what program, maybe a contact number, or email address. So she fills that out for her and her boyfriend. And so now they're heading to the movies, and she's saying, oh, what movie do you want to watch? And you can kind of see on the boyfriend's face, like, he's angry about something, but he's not saying anything. He just said, I want to go home. So she's like, but we just came for this movie.
See, that? Okay, let's stop there.
Okay.
Because that surprised me, in that I didn't understand why he was mad.
Yeah.
Because they seem to be having a really great day.
Yes, it was, they when they walked in, before they did that, they signed the petition.
Yeah.
They were smiling, they were laughing, holding hands. I still didn't like this guy, because it only takes one strike for me, so he forgot that he had a grocery. So already I was just like, this guy's going to be stepping out of this picture very soon.
Yeah.
And then he gets angry at her. When she said, what did I do? I had the same thought. Yeah, what's done? What happened? You don't know what happened or what was done.
Yeah. And it turns out that he's upset with her because on the portion where it said what school you go to, she put the name of the school instead of putting college student. And he felt, in his smallness, that she was trying to say that she went to a more prestigious college than he did, and trying to make him look bad.
Yeah, so she goes to Seoul University?
I believe so.
Yeah, so I guess he goes to not a well-known or prestigious or high-esteemed
school. High-esteemed school.
He doesn't go to a highly-esteemed school, and he felt that she was in his own smallness.
Yes.
And this had nothing to do with her. It all was about him. And in his smallness, he decided, oh, that's going to ruin her day. And she was trying to one-up him.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
And he decided he's going to be mad at her for that.
Not mad.
No,
I think
angry.
That is an understatement.
Okay.
He went a little bit cray-cray.
Did
he just say?
He did go kind of crazy.
So they cancel the date now. He goes to take her home. He's still really trying to understand what it is she did wrong. And then he explains it to her that she's looking down on him, that she goes to a better school and that she's better than him. And he literally drags her out of the car and throws her on the floor. And Kang sees this and she just like, what is going on?
Yeah, she hits him over the head with her purse.
Oh.
That was her response to that witnessing this. Automatically, she saw him throw her down onto the floor.
Yeah.
She goes, what? And then she takes her purse and hits him over the head with it. And it's kind of like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And I don't even think she even has... She's so embarrassed that she... I don't even think she said, oh, it's my boyfriend.
No, she just...
She just runs into the house. Yeah.
And the thing that I find that is so interesting about this, she's been dating this boyfriend, they just had an anniversary, for at least a year.
Or what, 300 and so days.
Well, how many 300 and whatever days?
Whatever anniversary it was.
And Kang does not know who he is. She said, who is this dude? Which means that I always find it strange if somebody you know has... a significant other, you live together, or your friends, and you've never met them. To me, that's always warning bells going off.
Okay, so I will say, though, in her defense, I don't defend her enough.
Okay.
And I won't.
Okay.
But Yaelun, she is not, I don't consider her and Kang friends. So this is different. So if it was Ji-won who was saying, who is this guy? Then that's like that's a red flag.
No, but she's lived with Kang for probably over a year.
But they also don't know how to have guys in the house.
I know, but still.
And they don't hang out outside of the house.
Still, the fact that she's like, who is this guy? Not even in passing did you see her talking about her boyfriend, showing him a picture, nothing. Like, to me, it's always a red flag to me. When your friends or your family do not know the person you are dating well.
I agree with you, but I do not think they're friends.
Yes. Okay, that's fine. But to me, it was a red flag when she was just like, who is this dude? I would feel very strange if I lived with somebody, even if dudes aren't allowed or guys are not allowed in the home. I live with somebody for over a year and I don't even know... Or I know that they have a boyfriend, and my first instance of seeing this person is him throwing you on the floor. Very concerning.
See, that's a different story then, because I would say they all knew she had a boyfriend. She said my boyfriend enough in the house. Oh, we get it. You have a boyfriend.
But she asked, who is this dude? Because she wasn't expecting this dude to be your boyfriend.
That's why she said it. She said, who is this dude? Because she's like... It's this can't be your boyfriend. It won't go to see a witness a man throw a girl to the floor. You don't go and say, oh, that must be her boyfriend. That's not what your first instinct is. It's like, who is this guy? This can't be the boyfriend that you've been saying is your boyfriend. And I think when she ran into the house and said, why are you in business? I think Kang was kind of like, oh my gosh, that was her boyfriend? Because I don't think she saw him before. But she knew she had a boyfriend.
But right away, she was just like, you need to dump that guy.
Yeah, she did. And she told her, like, in the when she was in her drunken state, she said, like, hey, you don't deserve someone like that. You should have someone who treats you better than that.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a very sweet moment. She's just kind of like, I can't, like, she cares about these girls.
Yes.
These girls didn't care about each other. And although you get angry with her and you take out your frustration with your boyfriend on her, she cares about you. And she cares that, like, you don't live your life with someone who's treating you like this. You deserve better than this.
Yeah.
No one deserves to be treated the way she's been treated by this gentleman. No, why am I calling him a gentleman? This boy. No one is treated the way by this boy. No one.
Oh, as we're talking about Badger, which who is also getting her own level of bad treatment at work.
Okay, I'll say a mix of bad and good treatment. Okay. A good treatment where she kind of disregards, and it's kind of, I don't have business with this, or doesn't feel she deserves this.
Yes.
And a horrible treatment.
Yes. So, she has a boss at work who is actually bullying her, and treating her poorly.
And we say it didn't start off that way, but he's abusing his power, because how it started off was he wasn't really bullying her. Remember, he was coming on to her.
No, he was bullying her and the whole staff, and he was in the way that he treated his staff. All the women were getting either harassed and bullied at work. The way that he spoke to them and addressed them based on their appearance and checked the way they looked, it was over and above how somebody's making sure your uniform looks good before you go out to work. He was harassing them, bullying them, and it just escalated to different degrees, but he was worse on her.
I think what I took that as is harassment, I would say yes. I think the bullying happened later. You know what? Okay, the only because it escalated, that's why I'm calling it that. You're right. He was a perfectionist type of nature where he wanted everyone to look a certain way, and he was like, across the board, all his employees, it was like a bullying or abuse of power type of situation where he's like, I want you to look like this, you don't look like this, you're fired. That type
of attitude. Total abuse of power, because it wasn't just like, oh, is your uniform pressed? Or this? It was just like, no perfume, touching their butts, touching their shoulder, like inappropriate touching, inappropriate looking. He went over and above how somebody looks at you to see if you look good in your uniform. You've worked in a place where you've had to wear a uniform.
Yeah.
And people are touching your butt. He took it OTT, way OTT.
There's the thing though, the place I work in uniform. I'm going to say, this is a grocery store. So, none of us look put together and look good. I think all they said is they wanted to make sure your pants are black, make sure you have your red vest, make sure you have your white shirt.
Yeah.
They were not looking into, like...
But you know what? Intent. For the most part, when you have to wear a uniform or something, they're not looking to that degree, treating people in that way based on...
Okay, because when I watched it the first time, I didn't notice that he did it before. I know this
after.
He did
it from the beginning, yeah. Every time he had them girls lined up, he was being excessive and overly excessive. And then as it escalated, you see that he was trying to make moves on her and, you know, so on and so forth. But anyways, so he's bullying, he's not treating her good, and she's having to deal with this tough situation at work. He particularly treats her extra worse than he does everybody else. And people are starting to feel as though she is causing a lot of their issues.
So we should go back, though, to before he said the extra worse. So he starts harassing her, I would say. And then he starts treating her extra worse. So he tries to make advances toward her. And when she decides, I'm not comfortable with this, and I'm not taking the advancements of yours, and you need to leave me alone, he's harassing her at work. Like, he's putting his hand on her leg, taking her home, and saying, oh, let's go out to eat, and then bring her to his house. And she's just like, no, this is not cool. And then when she rebuffs his advancements, then he starts doing these extra like meetings where he lines everyone up, and because it gets extra worse, they're blaming her. Because
That happened before as well.
But no, what I'm saying, where they start to actually blame her, it's after. Because, so she hurts her finger, and he goes, you can't work with your nails. And the nail looks disgusting, I have to agree. With the band-aid, it has blood on it.
Yeah.
Right? And then he goes, okay, I'm going to put you to a hostess position, which is a bump in salary of like $2 an hour, and she doesn't do as much work. Yeah. And the girls are talking behind her back saying, oh, how did she get that position? Why is she now the boss's or the manager's favorite?
Yeah.
So he puts her in this position and girls thinking that, oh, all her other employees are like, she's doing something to get that special job.
Yeah.
And then she's like, when she realizes that, like, oh, he's expecting something more from her, which is, again, why she didn't want that money or that scholarship, because she realizes there's something attached to this.
Yeah.
She starts to figure out, okay, there's something attached to it. He's not just being nice to me because he understands what my whole history and how I have three jobs and I'm working hard. No, he wants something more from me. And she rebuffs him, said, no, I'm not into that.
Well, the thing...
And then he starts being horrible. Like, it gets extreme every day.
No, but I think that with this guy, it just goes from bullying to harassing to more harassment to extreme harassment. Like, he just have levels of griminess. They're, like, from the get-go, he's been grimy. And it just gets worse and worse and worse and more escalated. But he's never been right with any of them.
What I noticed is it was a reaction to her saying no.
Before she even rebuffed his...
But it got worse after she said, leave me alone.
No, it got worse when she said, leave me alone. But even before she said, leave me alone, it was still horrible. It was,
yes, he's a horrible gentleman.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you on that. But I'm saying, I was just trying to tell you that, how he acted after she said, leave me alone, it was different than how he was acting before. Before, he was horrible. He was a bad boss. He was like
across the board.
They should have... Everyone collectively should have reported
him. He was deplorable. He went from deplorable to unbearably deplorable.
No, okay.
Disgusting.
It went from
ridiculous.
This is where I was saying it went from like, hey, you guys, as a collection, you all workers should report him to whatever type of society you report to for job. Yeah. And then after that, then it came to, okay, now you gotta report him to the cops. Yeah. That's what it felt like. It just escalated from like just being workplace. Like that type of workplace safety and the workplace behavior to like now he's doing illegal stuff.
Well, the thing is that I also found interesting is that he made it seem that he was being, well, when he took her aside on one of their fake dates, that he made it seem like he was trying to groom her for another management position.
Yes, and that's how he got drew her in.
But he was really grooming her to be his mistress. Is what he was
reading. That's when she found out that, oh, that's when she said, okay, this is not cool. No, I wanted to leave.
But she makes a very interesting statement, and it goes, she's in the car after he's made some advances on her. He puts his hand on her leg, and she says she realized that even though the same thing that Kang was doing for money, she was actually doing the same thing. In a different way. So even at that moment, she realized that I'm doing exactly what she is doing. I'm not getting as much money, but it's the same thing that I'm doing. I'm staying in this position. I'm staying this job.
I'm taking this abuse. Because he said he's going to get me.
I'm going to get to a certain place, or I'm going to get what I think I need. So I'm allowing this to happen for that.
Yeah, another thing she said about working there. Okay, so after he's abusing her, after his abuse and she's taking this harassment, and it's getting so evident to the point of, so there is a chef or a sous chef who works there who likes her, and he's kind of, he even said to her, why are you still working there?
Why don't you quit? Yeah.
And she says that she's using this as practice.
For life. If she can handle this, then she'll be.
She can handle everything. She goes, the moment that she can't handle this is the moment that she goes, I'm going to give up.
Yeah.
So that's a very profound thing to say, oh, I'm going to put up with this abuse because if I can put up with this abuse, then I can put up with anything. And it's a sad statement to say that you must put up with abuse. That must be a part of your life because you're going to find it everywhere in a workplace. You're going to find this type of level.
Yeah.
And then we also found out, so Mi Young is the person who said that she wants someone to die. So we get explanation of what that exactly means. does she want to commit murder? Is there some type of villain? And you go, when you start seeing her boss, you're like, oh, is this the person that she wants to die? But then you find out that she has a brother who's been in a coma for, I'm not sure what it is. Is it like 5 years?
For quite a time.
Oh, wow. Maybe 10 years. He's been in a coma
not
for...
Not 10 years. I think it's about...
Is it 6 years? Well, he's been in a coma for a long time.
Yeah.
And he's in this coma for how many years? And he's not getting better, but seems like he's not getting worse.
Yes.
And he's just staying at this level of, like, of this state of... Like, is he dead? Is he not dead? He's not moving. There's nothing happening. Her mother is spending day and night at this hospital.
And money.
The bills that she doesn't have. And she keeps taking out loans. And even the loan sharks start looking for Mi Young. And at this point in time, Mi Young is kind of like, I don't want my brother to live in the state anymore. There's one moment where she does a report that, oh, he's coding.
Yeah.
And she runs to the hospital and she's like, okay, he's coding. And it's kind of like a moment of, I'm not sure if there's relief on her face, but like, oh, okay, this is it. And then she gets there, and the doctor and the mother, her mother is like distraught. Like, she's crying, and the doctor comes out, and he goes, oh, it's okay. We got him back to the level that he was before. He's unstable now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you noticed it, but there is a look on the mother's face where she's kind of like, oh. Kind of like she wasn't... She was all ramping up, and her emotions are ramping up for, like, okay, he's going to pass, and he's going to die. And then the doctor's like, no, we saved him. He's back to the level he was been at for 6 years.
Yeah.
And the mother, what it looked like to me, the mother was like, she wasn't happy. She wasn't happy. You know what? I don't know if she was happy about it or unhappy about it. I don't know how she felt about it.
I didn't
but
really
it was a weird look.
But I really noticed Mi Young's response, whereas she just looked and turned around and walked out.
Just walked out of the hospital when she saw that.
She was hoping that it was her brother who flatlined.
Yeah, I think she went to the hospital and hoped she got a call. So she went to the hospital, and it's weird saying this, but she was kind of hoping that her brother would have now died and it's gone on.
Yeah, so
and not been in this uncertain state. Yeah.
But it's interesting. We'll talk about it later. But it's a very interesting state that she is in based on this situation that's happening. But there's a trend that's brewing with these girls is that even though they all live together and they've lived together, most of them, for some time, there's things about them that nobody knows about them.
Yeah, it's...
Like, they don't open up their heart to each other.
No, it's like they don't want... They just want to... You know what? It's things that they kind of want to forget. They don't want to remember or talk about. So, that's like Mi Young. So, she has a story with her brother. None of her roommates know about her brother in this coma. And this is the brother that she wants to pass on. And it is very interesting at this moment when her brother, she gets a call about her brother coding, or basically, in arrest, some type of arrest. And she is kind of opened up her heart to the chef that likes her. And she is allowing him, he gets her like a ring or a fake ring or something. Or he meets her when she's working at the convenience store and they have a drink. He buys a drink, juice jug or juice cup. He gets an award for being a chef and she saves money and buys him a knife sharpener.
Yeah.
And they're starting this like, this cute, this very sweet relationship. There's one moment where he is running for the bus, tracks down this bus that she always takes. And stops the bus and starts having this conversation with the bus driver about, oh, where's this bus going? Where is it heading? You find out that he was just doing that to give her enough time to catch this bus. Because she has her days always planned out. She always has a watch on. She's always checking time where she goes, okay, I need to get at this location for this time. I've got to catch this bus. And if I catch this bus, then I can make it to work on time. Like her life, because of her three jobs, is all mapped out and planned out. So
her life is on a 24-hour clock.
Yes. And the simple act of him catching that bus for her and holding it was so sweet. And you realize like how important this bus for her to catch this bus was. And this one day where she tells him, like, oh, don't be nice to me, because if you stop being nice to me, it's going to really hurt. It's going to hurt more. So she has this, that's how she treats her relationship, where I don't want to get into a relationship because if it turns left, it's going to really hurt and I don't want to have to deal with that. Well, I have no time to deal with
that. She makes a statement about the fact that she has no time to be weak. And if she allows herself to be weak, then she might crumble. Really profound.
Yeah, so really profound. And then you notice that that's why she doesn't have these relationships, these close relationships. And at one moment, at that same moment where she kind of lets him in, is when her brother codes. And then he gets back up to a stable state, and then she leaves, and then she kind of goes to him and she goes, yeah, don't be nice to me anymore. And I think she kind of explains to him her situation, and she's like, yeah, my brother's in this situation and I want him to die. Do you hate me for that? And she's like, I can't afford to be weak. I can't afford to be in this relationship. I have to be strong, right? Because she'll crumble if she's weak. And then she kind of just like, their relationship gets put on pause. Dies down.
She basically tells him not to like her.
Yeah, she's just like, okay,
because she can't handle allowing herself to be vulnerable, because the minute she's vulnerable, if something happens where she allows herself to be vulnerable or weak, she won't be able to recover from that, because mm-hmm. she's always had to be strong. She has to be strong. Mm-hmm. To survive the day, she's got to be strong. Mm-hmm. To survive the moment, she's got to be strong. And the moment she's weak and she doesn't have somebody to hold her in place, she can't accept that.
Yeah, so then she has that, and getting abuse from work, and it's a lot going on in her life, and she basically doesn't have time for this.
Yeah.
Because she definitely has to be strong to put up with that work environment on the weekends at that restaurant.
Yeah, it's a very abusive situation.
So that explains the I want someone to die. So now there's a line of Kang where she says, I guess I did kill that person. Mm-hmm. And you go, okay, let's revisit that. What do you mean? I think I did kill that person. Yeah. And you find out that she has survived
a tragic
ferry
accident.
A ferry accident where the ferry boat sunk somehow. I don't know what it hit, but it capsized and turned over, and everyone on that ferry was in the water.
Yes.
And I think she was the only survivor, or one of the few
survivors. She was one of the survivors.
She was one of the survivors of that. And she's remembering, you don't see what has happened yet, but she has this bracelet that she says that saves her life.
Her good luck charm.
Her good luck charm. It's her good luck charm. And there is a gentleman that shows up at her workplace at the bar, and that she keeps chatting up, and she, when she complains about stuff, he's there and he just listens to her. And at first she was kind of like, okay, that's an interesting guy. So she doesn't want to add him to her boyfriend lineup.
Yeah.
And she looks at, and she can spot guys, and she doesn't, she in the way of like looking at a gentleman and saying that, yeah, he's too much for me, or oh, he doesn't have enough money.
Yeah.
One guy she looks at, she goes, oh, he's just real nice, and she can see how much money he spent on his outfit, and I can tally up his outfit, and when it reached over a certain amount of money, she's just like, yeah, I don't want to deal with that, because she had an incident where some guy had like a fetish or something.
Well, her thing was, it wasn't his clothes.
What was it?
It was, she was calculating how much he was worth, and then when she looked over at him, he licked his lips.
Oh.
And then she was like, uh-oh, that's a red flag. I'm not getting one of those dudes. No, thank you.
Yeah, so she has a way of calculating with that.
Yeah.
And when he came in, she calculated that his value was, his walker was under $200, like $100. And she's just like, why is he in this bar? But
with people who have money.
Yeah.
And who clearly know that there are escorts in here.
And he doesn't seem like he's interested in her ex-escort service.
No.
So he just showed up at the bar every time. And so she's gotten used to like his having conversations with him. So when she's going through with the incident with her roommates, he was like a listening ear, and he was kind of like, yeah, it's kind of like her therapist.
Yes.
When you think about it.
Yes.
He would just listen, and it was like, oh, is that how you feel? Like, why did you feel that way? Oh, do you think they had a right to feel? It was a very interesting relationship that they had, where she felt really comfortable talking to him. But then it was revealed to the audience that he heads back to his home or his room, and plastered on his walls are pictures of her, like where he's like he's following her. So we thought that she only had one stalker, but really she had two. And this guy, he had like the news clipping of her being rescued and her saying about, "Oh, that bracelet's my good luck charm." So you start to be kind of like, "Oh, what is this guy about, and why is he following her?" And you know it's connected to that incident that happened on the ferry. So to talk about the incident on the ferry, we find out that while she was in the water, she and along with another person were fighting for a position on this suitcase that was like a floating device to help rescue them. And in her attempt to try and get onto the suitcase, she basically pulled the other person down and was basically caused the other person to drown. Yeah. And what happened is the bracelet that's her good luck charm came off of the arm of that person. And it is revealed slowly that that person was that gentleman's daughter. And and he put his daughter on the ferry. That's the last time he saw her, yeah. Right? And so he wasn't on the ferry, but then he heard about it, and he's kind of has always wondered, because he knows that bracelet's his daughter, so he's like, how did she get this bracelet? So he's trying to get close to her to figure out, how did she get a hold of this bracelet? Yes. What happened?
Yes.
Her daughter, his daughter's dead, but you're alive and you have her bracelet.
But doing it in the most creepy way.
Very creepy. Very creepy way. He is, like, he's just tracking and following her, and we as the audience are seeing that his room is plastered with pictures of her, and even when he meets someone on the street, the person like, "Oh, did you ever find that girl?" And like, how long has this guy been looking for this girl?
Yeah.
He's been looking for a long time for her. And you don't really know exactly what his intentions are after finding her, because he never reveals himself from the jump. He kind of is like pretending to be someone else. And he's just slowly kind of asking her questions. "Oh, what happened? How did that happen? What happened when you were on the boat?" And she kind of just talking to him, and she never, because she doesn't want to talk about it, she doesn't reveal as much.
Yeah.
Until it comes to like a head where she has to reveal more.
Indeed.
You could talk about that situation. Indeed.
So at this time, because of Ji-won's ghost, people are starting to notice that strange things are happening in the house. Like Ye-eun goes to blow dry her hair in the morning, and her hair dryer shorts out and shocks her, and she's like, "Oh, it's because of the ghost," and lights are flicking on and off, and they're thinking it's because of the spirit in the house. So Ji-won comes up with the amazing idea that it's because there's not enough male energy in here, and if we have male energy in here, well, then maybe the ghost will go away. Which is basically, she comes up with this idea to have a penis party and invite men over to get rid of the negative energy. I think she's just trying to find herself a date.
I would say that on her meeting, her first question there was like, "Do you have an older brother?
Do you have a young nephew?
A young uncle? Do you have an older brother or a young uncle?" She's just trying to find a date and get past this one blind date, like, situation that she's finding her with. One blind date, and they don't call her back.
Yes. So they end up having this party. They're told, invite all the men, you know, everybody has to invite a man. And then they institute this punishment if you don't bring a man to the party.
You have to do one of these punishments, and they each make one, they have to draw it out.
And whoever doesn't bring the most men will have to do this punishment.
Oh, and Ji-won.
Ji-won is on it. She's inviting the basketball team. She's inviting random people from the street. She's inviting her people who work with her at the newspaper.
There was one point where she's on the street and she witnesses I don't know if he's American or Canadian, but he's an English speaker. And she goes, "Hey, yeah, remember we did that mission trip together?" And he's like, "Yeah, I do remember." And she goes, "You should come to my party." Yeah. She hasn't seen this guy in what, months or years? And she's like, "Come to my party," and inviting everyone.
She's inviting everybody. So everybody's doing their part to invite the male to the party. To a male to a party. Now here's my good friend,
MJ. And you know she has, you know, she's getting better, but still has some issues with talking to people. And she meets a fellow who just makes her eyes, I'm laughing because, you know, I could just see his picture. And she just thinks the sun rises in his eyes. And when she looks at him, his hair moves in the wind.
Oh, and he's like, every time she looks at him, he's like, there's the sun is always shining brighter on him.
Yes.
Yeah, and he has this, like, hippie, free spirit look and yes, style.
Yes, he's wearing Birkenstocks and, like, short pants. And he's got long hair, and he's always spouting poetry. And the guy who's always bothering her, who actually
bullies
her.
Her quote-unquote bully.
Her bully is just like, this guy's not for real. This guy's a weird dude. But and Jay is just like, it's her first love.
Chung Ye is the bully dude.
And she's like, it's her first love. And she just takes a shine to this guy. So he, of course, wants to invite him to the party. And she likes him. And she's too chicken to ask him to come. So she asks her bully to ask him out for her and tell him about the party. Now, at this point, we as a viewer are seeing that this guy's not actually bullying her, but he actually likes her.
And in his defense, he's not very clear. Like, hey, I like you, I want to go out.
I thought he was clear.
He never said that statement.
He never said that statement, but you could kind of tell that he wasn't trying to bully her.
No, you could tell he's not bullying her. We know that he likes her, but he hasn't expressed that his feelings to her yet.
Yeah.
And
he hasn't made them plain.
And he has not made it plain. And MJ is not there.
She's
not
a little bit thick in those things. She's not catching on.
She's been bullying him the whole time. And all he's been doing is basically kind of flirting with her.
Yeah, he's been flirting with her. So he goes to apparently invite her crush to the party. So he goes to him and she stays far off because she, you know, doesn't want to be in the vicinity. And he goes to make mouthing sounds like he's saying stuff, but he's saying nothing. And the guy who's her crush is like, what are you saying? What? And he's just like looking back at NJ and just saying, he doesn't want to come. So she's heartbroken.
Oh, she's crying.
So they go out drinking. And this is where we find out she can really, really drink.
Yeah, she did that.
So they're drinking and she's getting drunk and she's crying about her first love and all of these things. And she wanted him to come to the party and she's so heartbroken. And she doesn't know that this dude didn't even ask him. For all she knows, he could have wanted to come to the party. So she's having her first letdown. When, he could have probably even liked her.
And then she proceeds to tell Trinity about, if I don't bring a guy to the party, I gotta do this dare, I don't want to do it. And he's just like, what? I have to bring someone to the party or I'll be forced to do something.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, okay, then I'll come to the party with you. And she's just like, did you really do that? She's not aware that he likes her. He's been trying to go to the... When she brought it up to him, he thought she was talking about him.
Yes.
And she goes, oh, I want to ask someone now. And he's like, oh, you did? He thought it was him
the whole time she was asking, she was doing little innuendos, and he thought she was talking about him.
She was never
talking about him. She's like, if somebody's older and you like them, do you call them football? Or do you call them, you know... Sunday?
and he goes, I prefer to be called Opa.
So he thought, oh, she's finally warming to me. And then it turns out she likes this weird Birkenstock, who is very handsome.
Very handsome.
You know, has a very strange way of dressing.
Oh, strange way of thinking, because I think...
He looks like he would do well with J-Wan, actually.
Right? They really should have set them up. I think my favorite part is, like, I think when he approaches him to go and ask him, quote-unquote, out for her, he goes, hey, what's going on? I think he quotes, like, a poem or... I can't remember the poem. He quotes a poem back then. He says, like, oh, okay. Anyways.
He's like, this is a weird dude.
So then now this party happens. So So Eunjae now has someone to come to the party. So this party happens and Jiwon has invited, I want to say, like 20, 30 guys to this party. And the party happens and it ends up only being three dudes.
Yeah, but the way they set it up, and it starts with the scene, you see the whole basketball team, the people who Jiwon invited from the street, music's pumping, everybody's drinking, everybody's enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
And then they say, this is what the party should have been.
Yeah, this is what I expected the party to do. Jiwon's her voice over there. This is what I expected the party to look like. It'll be like, music, everyone's having fun.
And then this is what it was in reality. Three dudes. And they weren't even in the room with them. They were in the room complaining about how bad this party was.
Yeah, the girls were in a room together saying, like, this is a bad party. you start to see that it's not revealed until the party night that the basketball team, like, oh, we actually had a game, and so we had to leave.
Yeah.
So that's when the basketball team disappeared. And then
and the guys off the street had the wrong phone number.
Yeah, she didn't have the right phone number. They contact her.
Friend was asleep and didn't bother to come.
Yes, her newspaper friend was asleep. He didn't wake up to come. And it's just three dudes. And Jiwon's just like, why did you invite?
And they were the strangest three dudes.
Yeah, so, okay, Eunjae's bully friend, Chungye, he came. He came actually early to help him set up. And then Puyang, who is the horrible boyfriend of Jaehoon, they actually broke up and
were supposed to break up.
And she told them that, okay, I'm gonna break up with him. And the girls started bad mouthing him already, like, oh, you deserve better. He's the worst.
And then he shows up at the party.
And he shows up at the party and the girls kinda like, you put us in a bad spot, so now how are we gonna talk
to
him?
Who hasn't been there, folks?
But now they've now been forced to be in a situation where now they have to talk with this guy who they just badmouthed and being the worst in support of their friend.
Yeah.
Because she decided she changed her mind. This is a lesson. If your friend breaks up with someone, be careful what you say and make sure it's really done.
Yeah.
Because if it's not really done and then 2 weeks later, you're back together.
Makes things awkward.
Because who knows? Like, did you tell him what I said?
Yeah.
And now he knows I really never liked him from the jump. And now you're like, do I now have to be a phony or do I still just have this I don't like him? And then now you have a boyfriend who your friends don't like and vice versa, your friends, your boyfriend doesn't like your friends. And then what happens? Down the line, I'm going for this now down the line. What if you guys get married? So now you're married to this guy. And in the back of your head as a friend, you're like, okay, now you're married to him and I still don't like him. And then further that way, and then you guys have kids, and you're like, okay, now you guys are really up in it, and I still don't like this guy. It's a bad situation.
It really is a bad situation.
So hold your tongue if you can, because you don't want to get into that situation.
So at this party, we have the most unusual suspects. We have Kang, Stalker Dude, who's like 500 years old.
Okay, he's not 500 years old.
He's 500 years old.
Every age that went to Mercy says, she multiplied. The real age is like divided by 100 or something.
Then we have Eunjae's a bully dude who likes her. And then we have the weird bad boyfriend. So those are the three actual dudes that actually show up to the party. But let's go back a little bit to them preparing for this party. Because as they're preparing, they're having balloons. The bully comes early and he helps them set up. And these wonderful things are happening. And then there's
a guest.
And it's Jiwon's father. They have got balloons, okay? Some of them which look like penises. That they blew up to get rid of the energy. All sorts of strange things going on.
The ghost energy.
And the father's talking about how his daughter's so pure and so calm and so quiet.
Everything
that's not her. And he goes to drop off some food and it's kimchi and some other things. And they get wind that that her father's coming and they have to take down all the decorations, hide the man that's in the house,
and try to pretend that nothing is going on.
Yeah, and take everything down. And he's there for, he doesn't stay long, and then they have to reset up for the party.
So fast forward to the party. There's three strange dudes there. And, you know, like Ji-won, she just has to make the best of the situation. Unfortunately, everybody managed to bring a dude except for Ji-won.
Yeah, so, Min-young was, she had to work. She wasn't showing up.
She wasn't coming to the party. So what happens is, you know, she starts taking out the alcohol. And what is the best solution to a very bad party? Get drunk. So they proceed to... So they proceed to start drinking and playing games. So they're playing all kinds of games, and, you know, and they play one drinking game where they have to say, who would be most likely to do this? And everybody is taking it out on, is it Kang Mo?
Oh, Chanye, my bad.
And everything that they said, who would be most likely to, they're pointing to him. So he keeps having to drink.
Yeah, who's most likely to, what's it, to stalk someone? It's him.
Yeah.
Who's most likely to, oh, to be perceived as a pervert or something? It's him.
Yeah.
And then he gets to a question where he goes, who's most likely to kill someone, right? No. To commit murder? It goes really far away.
It goes really dark really quickly.
He's going to kill someone.
Yeah, or to have a secret. No.
Oh, yes.
Who's most likely to
I went way too farther than he did. Who's most likely to have a secret? And there's a moment where everyone just kind of reflects, and the camera shows like all the everyone. You're like, and you really in the audience are like, everyone of you guys have a secret.
Yeah.
But you know, in the fans, they just point their fingers at him, and he still has to drink. So he's like totally wasted by this time. And in his wastedness, he actually has a confession.
He has a confession.
So it's very interesting that he's the one to have the secret. Yeah, and he confesses to Eun-jae that he likes her. And this one time she's like, oh, he's drunk. It must be like a drunken confession or something.
Yeah.
He didn't really mean it.
So in the process of this party, Kang's stalker, that's what it's called. Kang's stalker says that he has to make a phone call and it's too noisy and actually goes into her bedroom to make the call. In reality, he's trying to find that necklace that he...
No, bracelet.
The bracelet, sorry. That he's been looking for... to see if he can find it in her possession. Yeah, and he does find it, and he takes it with him.
Yeah, so and on this note as well, so Jae-eun, her boyfriend, is at this party that she's got back together with, but he has kind of set his sights on Kang, or Gina, and you can see he keeps, like, making eyes and trying to, like, I don't know if he's trying to wink at her or... seeing like, oh, is she into me or is she not into me? And we just see Kang and she's just like, I am not into this guy. Because she's just like, I value myself way too much to put up with some guy that kind of looks like you.
Yeah.
And I think later on, when him and Jae-eun are at his house and she goes to the bathroom, he takes her phone, finds Gina's number, and takes it and copies it into his phone so he can contact his girlfriend's friend.
Totally grimy.
Oh, he's just getting... Every time he comes on the screen, he just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And, okay, the first time, the jacket. Okay, yes, we don't know if he knew it was the anniversary or if they set up this date as the anniversary and he forgot. Okay, we gave him a blab with that. Second time, though, no, he throws his girlfriend down to the floor. She should break up with him, and it doesn't happen. So now, he's using his girlfriend and is trying to date his girlfriend's roommate and stealing the phone from his girlfriend's phone. He just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And, you know, he's actually not very good at it. So he's not going to try to his tracks because he takes the phone, takes her number, and then she asks for her to meet with him. And she meets with him. She's like, at first he put it under the guise of like, oh, it's about Jae-eun. I have something to tell you about her. So she shows up and Kang's like, okay, what do you want to tell me about her? And he's like, oh, no, I just was using that just to get you here. And what if we got together and whatnot? She's just like, dude, no, I'm not into you. You're a loser and I'm going to leave. But he keeps trying to contact her. And
yeah.
Yeon is using his phone at one point in time and notices that conversation, that chat open, and starts reading the chat, and she pretends like she's not reading it. And then when he comes back, she puts the phone down, so she didn't tell him that she's seen it, which is her characteristic with this guy. She doesn't tell him anything, doesn't tell him about anything. She just wants to have a boyfriend. And so she puts the phone down.
She wants to have him as her boyfriend.
Okay, she wants to have him as her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. At this thing, she just wants to have a boyfriend. That's the only thing I can think of. I'm sure she's a very attractive girl. She can get another attractive boyfriend if she wanted to. I guess you're right. That is, she could get another attractive guy. She wants to be with this guy. But she's now, her insecurity is showing through. Whereas every time Kang's leaving the house, she's like wanting to know who she's getting to the car with. If it's a red car, because her boyfriend's a red car. She's checking to see if it's him in that car. She starts to get really uber paranoid.
Yeah.
And it's when you get to that moment where you're having paranoia about your significant other, I think there needs to have a conversation, or there needs to be a breakup at that point in time.
Yeah, definitely.
Because when Kang's on the phone, she's taking the phone from him saying hello, and then seeing that it's her boyfriend on the other end. And then Kang's just like, what's wrong with her? Like, she doesn't know what's happening or why it's happening.
Yeah.
But she's just like, she's acting very strange, and she hasn't really had this issue with this jealousy with her. So it's very interesting to see her just like unravel with her wanting to hold on to this boyfriend who's not a good boyfriend at all.
Yeah, and she's more upset with Kang than she is with the boyfriend.
Yeah, she's like upset with the party that has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
When she should be directing it at him.
Yeah.
So, like, while this is happening with Jaehoon, Kang is now, she's going through her own mess, where she's like, I have no time to deal with this relationship. She's like, I don't know why she's upset and why she's, like, grabbing phones from my hand, but I don't have time to deal with her because I'm really dealing with my own stuff. So, this old man stalker that Rachel Mercy keeps calling him, he kind of reveals himself. So, Kang notices that, or Gina notices that the bracelet is missing. And she keeps asking her roommate. She asks Jaehoon, like, hey, did you take that bracelet of mine? And she's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't take your bracelet. And she's like, oh, okay, because like, it's very important. So she meets with the old man stalker, and who's Chung Ju is his name, but old man stalker. She meets with him, and he kind of just reveals and says, hey, yeah, I took that bracelet of yours. And she goes, and he's like, oh, it used to belong to my daughter. She's just like, okay, wait, what? And he takes her to like a field. Like, I don't know why she got into the car with this gentleman and went with him and had him drive her to this field by like the beach. Or I didn't even know where they are. But
it was a very precarious place.
It was like a place where you bury bodies. Like, it was to that.
But you can even see as she was driving in the truck.
Yeah, she's like, where are you taking me?
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, yeah, I took the bracelet. So, you know, if he shows the bracelet, she goes, where did you get that? And he goes, I want to ask you that question. Where did you get this? The last time I saw this bracelet, it was on the wrist of my daughter. So how did you get this bracelet? And then Ken's just like, hey, take me home. And he's just like, no, I want to get answers from him. So she kind of like runs out of his car. And
this man chases after her and begins to choke her out. To the point where
she can't breathe.
She can't breathe. And
he's just like,
he goes from asking, can you tell me what happened, to choking her out. Clearly, you think that she has killed your daughter. But she did mention before that
she
did kill someone.
She told him.
So he's not taking her to the amusement park to go ask her a question. He had plans to do her some harm. And there's some light shining, and she manages to get away.
Yeah, someone's like coming over the hill.
Yeah, and she's
like, hey, is anyone there? So she manages to get away. And then he proceeds to follow her and track her down in his truck.
Yeah.
He gets behind the wheel and says, hold her in his truck.
So she gets into a very, very, very sticky situation.
Well, she doesn't want to leave her house.
I'm happy that. I thought it would have ended worse.
So did I. I thought she was going to die,
but I was happy that, you know, she was able to get away. And she just didn't want to leave her house for a while because she's afraid to meet this person.
I think I have something to say about every time when I watch shows, this is always the same when someone's choking someone. They always choke them and they'll be like, tell me this. And you're like, they can't breathe. They can't tell you.
If you're crazy enough to be choking someone out, I don't think you have the rationale to think that they can't speak.
I see it all the time and I just find it with a little level of like hilarity to it. Like, sir, she can't speak. You are pushing out of her trachea. She can't talk.
But a lot of them on TV just when they're getting choked out.
Well, they have the confidence. I can't. Like, they have to, like, choke it out.
It's so funny.
I just find it so it's not funny, but I just find that always happens when someone's choking them. They always want them to say something. They don't just choke. They don't usually choke them in silence. They're asking for an answer.
Yes.
I've only seen it happen twice where someone was choking someone out for silence, where he's like, I don't hear what you have to say. I'm just trying to,
So, so that happened.
Okay, and then she's like in her house.
And she's in her house and she's really being cautious about who's ringing the doorbell, who's coming. Even worse than the original stalker dude, this one, it was just like stalker dude 2.0.
And this is the one thing I noticed. Like, they don't like to call the cops. But that's a legitimate moment where you're kind of like, hey, cops, yeah, this guy, you have marks on your neck that show that he
choked
you.
Why do you think she didn't call the cops?
I don't know. Maybe she understands? Or no, maybe because she, because in the episode, she proceeds to try and find out where he lives. Right? She's still living her life and she's trying to find out.
Did she feel guilty, you think, that she died instead of his daughter? That his daughter died instead of her, sorry.
I want to say she's living her life with a guilt.
Because if somebody choked me out, on no way, shape, or form am I going to go look for them to go explain anything to them. I would be trying to call the police.
Yes, I'm calling the cops. That's what Reese would have done too.
Yeah.
He's choking me. And I can't. That's like assault. And you can go to the cop and say, here are the marks on my neck.
Not to mention that when his daughter died, he was in prison for assault already. So he has a history of violent crime.
Yeah. So yeah, she should have. He definitely should have went to the cop for that one. So yeah, the only reason I think she didn't go to the cop was because she felt guilty. You're right. I think it was a guilt thing. And then she explains the situation. And you know what? I've never been in a situation where I was, thank goodness, thank God. I've never been in a situation where I would be drowning and then bringing down someone with me. I would hope to think that I wouldn't do that, but then there's this thing of like fight or flight, where like, I guess you're trying to live, and it does happen though, when people are drowning, that there's a chance that someone who goes to save them, the person who was drowning in their haste of trying to survive, might pull them down as well.
Yeah.
So that could have been the situation that happened with the daughter, whereas in she didn't even take it the fact that, oh, this is a child. She was just kind of just pulling, and this child was like, I want to say 10 or 11, and she was kind of dragging her down. It looks so bad every time I see it. And when you see the video, the image of it, I mean, the play-by-play of what happened, it looks bad. It was like, you're causing this child to drown, and she's like not even sharing like the briefcase with her. She's letting her go, pushing her off of the briefcase. It's a very wonky situation. It looks bad. It looks like you did kill her. And in a sense, she did kill her because the girl was on the briefcase first, from my understanding. And she kind of pulled her down in her effort to get up onto the briefcase, onto the floating beds. Because, yeah, it looked like she pushed her off.
Yeah, she was just fighting for her life.
No, but it looked so bad.
If somebody's drowning, you do literally have to do that, or else you'll drown too. They both would have died. When somebody is drowning, they don't have the thought to, oh no, I might pull them down.
No, they're just like, I want to get up.
Exactly. So she would have drowned as well.
Wow.
So she did the right thing in the situation.
Oh, right. Like this, the right thing in that, if I didn't do this, I would have drowned as well, right?
No, the right thing in that situation.
That's the right thing to...
Even in lifeguard training, they teach you when somebody's drowning, if they're like acting like that, you have to keep them away from you.
they will pull you down and kill you.
So I did not know that was a part of training.
Okay. Yeah.
That's kind of heartless, but I guess you're right.
That's why you're supposed to hold them a certain way and what have you, because
they... So they will do that.
So that they can't do
that. So they can't do it. So that's why you always go from the back and hold them around the chest. Okay.
They will pull you down and they will kill you. I don't swim, so I don't.
Coming to a pool near you, folks.
No, seriously, no, I'm not.
I'm not coming to the pool.
You're not coming to the pool. So, also, what's going on now is Yoon has decided to apply for a corporate job. And she makes the mistake, or in her delight, decides to tell people that she's applying for a corporate job. And her manager, the sleazy manager, our owner, hears this. And something in him is so angry to think that she could have a better opportunity than the one he was trying, and I put my air quotes, to give her. And he... really hopes that she doesn't get the job. Now, at the same time, her co-workers are also getting wind of this, and they're very jealous with her. And one of her co-workers, when she's on the floor, pushes her to make her trip, and like she nearly makes
the plate of food. She has two plates of food.
And she nearly makes it fall.
Yeah.
So she goes, she gives it to the customer, goes and she sits, stands back at her station. Now, when you see this restaurant, it's fine dining, and you can hear a pin drop in that place. In the dining room, it is so quiet. They even have headphones to communicate with each other. They're not yelling from across the room. They don't do that there.
They don't even talk.
They only talk when they need to, and it's in a small whisper. It's not loud.
And what can I get for you today?
And so if she had dropped the plates in the middle of the floor, oh my goodness, her boss would have reamed in on her so bad. And she took that moment where she took a pregnant pause.
Yeah, so she didn't fall. Yeah, she didn't drop the plates.
She didn't drop the plates.
Round to the table for the
guests. Yeah.
Put it down. Then, yeah, went back to her position to stand.
And then thought about it and then went into the kitchen to the girl who had nearly made her trip. She was getting water, and she took the hot water tap and the boiling hot water tap and put her hand underneath it and said, if you ever do that to me again, next time it'll be hot oil. And I thought that that was so great. Not condoning bad workplace safety, but that girl had been riding her all the time. You know, she has been getting on her case for such a long time. It's just hating on her. And the fact that she went that far in that place to mess her up, she was like, I've had enough of you. And she kind of gave her a comeuppance, and I was quite happy with that.
It was a beautiful sight. And you know what? It sounds bad we're condoning this bad behavior, but like, she, the girl deserved it. And she was very calm when she came and told her that. So she just, you know, calmly took her hand, put her in the hot water, and then said calmly to her, like, if you ever do that again, it's going to be hot oil. And then walk back to her position, because, you know, she has to go back to work.
Yeah.
She's, at that point in time, she's like, you're jeopardizing my job.
She's a professional.
Very professional. And she was, at that point in time, you're jeopardizing my job, and I'm not having that. And she's like, I'll deal with you how I think is warranted. Which is, it was beautiful. And she did it whereas in like only two people saw. Whereas in the girl who was complaining, she was, oh, you see what she did? And the chef or the guy was like, what? No one saw it. I think only one person saw it, and that's the chef that likes her. Because he's always watching her when she's in the kitchen. Which is so happy. But he's always aware of where she is. So I think that's the only time where person who watched her or witnessed it. And he said nothing.
Yeah. Something also that's going on at this time is that, Yeun is really having a hard time thinking Kang is having an affair with her boyfriend or cheating on her boyfriend with her. And she is having all these false accusations in her mind, what have you.
And she basically tells him, they get into a fight, an altercation. And she's like, listen, your boyfriend is scum. I told you to get rid of him a long time ago. You just need to get rid of that guy. He's no good. I'm not being with him, but somebody is. It's not me. And so she is upset, and she ends up going to a club, and she unwinds, and she gets wasted. And she is making it a point to, I don't care what happens, I'm just going to live my life kind of thing. And she meets a sleazy guy in the club who basically drugs her. And one of her Kang's friends sees her in the club and says, hey, Kang, you might want to come down here.
One of your roommates
is here, and she's just with a guy, and he just went to jail for, like, accosting somebody, and he has a bad reputation. You might want to come down here and help her, right? So Kang comes into the nightclub, and she's there with this dude, and she's just like, come on, we're going. She's like, no, I know what I'm doing. I'm staying here, what have you. So she's like, forget her. I'm just going to leave her. Then she walks back in, drags her out by the hair, and says, the guy says, oh, what are you doing? What have you? She's like, she's my girlfriend. I'm taking her with me.
That's so funny because they have kissed.
So she's like, she's my girlfriend. I'm taking her out of here. And she drags her out. And she's just like, are you crazy? Like, what were you doing with this guy? Why did you put yourself in that situation over a stupid dude? Like, what are you doing? And she's like, well, if he can cheat, I can cheat too, kind of thing. And she ends up vomiting all over the street, and it gets quite messy. But they have a heart to heart where she's just like, you're worth more than this. And it's after these events that happen that she finally works up the courage to dump her boyfriend.
It's a celebration.
We are almost done. Only one more episode until the end.
Parting is such sweet sorrow, but there's always another show to watch. We will announce the next show at the end of part 3.
Don't forget to visit our website, d2bconcerto.com, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at d2bconcerto.
Until next time, miss you, miss you!
Miss you, miss you!